Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, it's The Rundown, presented by Trippett Insurance. Trippett Insurance at 6462 Stage Road in Bartlett. Depend on your local insurance agent. Trippett Insurance at 901-365-1472. Online at trippettagency.com. The Rundown, with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yes, those aforementioned Los Angeles Lakers that are 4-1 since the trade deadline and just came back from down 27 against the Dallas Mavericks to get the win will be up in hell. Going to be seeing them against the Memphis Grizzlies. But before that, the Grizzlies had to take care of business on Saturday, a little bit of a reset. Yes, they take care of the Denver Nuggets. And boy, was it good to see, because this is one I think that you can point to, especially on the Grizzlies' resume of Western Conference wins. Point two is say, well, that's one of our best, if not our best, this season. You know, you'd beaten Sacramento, you'd beaten Minnesota, and those guys are certainly playoff contenders. And don't look now, Sacramento's only one to have behind you. But having a win over the best team in the Western Conference, clearly one that's running away from it, gives you that confidence that, as we said in the first hour, that, hey, with the way you played, we're back. You know, with a swagger, and particularly after you'd blown a 17-point lead against Philly, another contender, been outscored 10-1 down the stretch of that game, you don't let Denver get back in this one. And I'm clearly that was the message from Taylor Jenkins to that team after they got out early on Denver and defensively just suffocated them again, holding them to a season-low 94 points. So it was good to see more of that good swag coming out of the All-Star break. Hopefully it continues again against the Lakers team. That, listen, these first 11, we said coming out of the break, all tests.
Yeah.
You know, it softens up after that, and you're going to have, listen, Houston three times after the All-Star break, those kinds of, but here early, you've got a chance to make some statements against the West Conference teams. And listen, that's why I felt so disappointed that they hadn't gotten the Philly win, because you'd played so well in so many other areas there on the road. Instead, it becomes your eighth straight road loss. This was more evidence that, yeah, even without Steven Adams, this team can still dominate good teams.
Yep.
And they did so defensively, pretty much.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of funny how we would certainly be hearing if this result was inverted, right?
Mm-hmm.
We would certainly be hearing about that damn Ja quote. We ain't worried about nobody in the West.
This helps. It doesn't silence it, but it shows the rest of the league. No, yeah. It's not just all talk. They're legit. Like on any night, and especially at FedEx Forum, the Grizzlies can beat just about anybody in the league.
Yeah, I mean
I'd include anybody on a regular season night. Now, whether you can knock them off in a 7-game series, another thing.
I don't know if they could beat the Celtics. That might be the one team.
All right, Ja. Tyus Jones, we mentioned him. I was calling you, Ja, saying that.
Because
you acting like the Celtics the only one when you say, I don't know they beat the Celtics, but what sounded like was about to come out of your mouth was, I feel pretty good about everybody else in the league. That was Ja. Okay, so slow down, because we're just recovering from that, all right?
Yeah.
Don't put us back in it.
Maybe the Lakers. Maybe got to add the Lakers to that list.
Speaking of Ja, 23 points in 24 minutes in that game was the 20th time in the last 21. He's gone over 20. Know that streak had been snapped, obviously. Tyus Jones did the 17, breaks out of his slump in a big way, 5 of 10. I think Jeff, I heard, had mentioned it. He hadn't hit a 3 in his last, like, 5, 6, 7 games. So getting 5 of 10 from him, great to see. And then shout out. Xavier Tillman, man.
Y'all
folks wrote him off.
Xavier Tillman is definitely in the building.
He didn't write back, though. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, was all over the floor. And now it seems like, in some weird way, John him had developed this nice little connection, at least where he knows where Xavier's going to be.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem. I ain't right back. Let's go.
The man has gone against the two best centers in the league the last two games, and I'm not going to sit up here and tell you he's dominated or won the battles individually, but, man, that man brings the effort. And he uses he's got a quickness advantage in a way as a smaller center that he's using right now, moving all around that basket. Ja's finding him down there, and you're getting some good contributions. You needed it with Steven Adams out, and it's helped you get back to form, mainly defensively, but sort of to a form offensively.
The way they used him on Saturday against Jokic in the post to double down, like you said, they hedged. I mean, they used him a lot. It was wonderful to watch.
And he's running the floor.
Yeah,
like
it was good.
You're maximizing him at a time where you really need him. And frankly, it's been good to see him coming at a perfect time, because remember, it wasn't so long ago we were asking ourselves, my gosh, is this still who we thought they were?
Mm-hmm.
So gotta give a shout out to Tillman, because a lot of people have written him off. He's been a big contributor during this.
They wrote me off. I ain't right back, though. That's the problem.
This little bounce back right before the All-Star break and now out of it.
Next story.
All right, so in terms of the NCAA tournament and bracket matrix, let's shoot over to bracketmatrix.com. Memphis currently right now is on average, out of a possible 89 brackets, Memphis is in 88. So closing that gap. Only one rogue bracket has Memphis out of the tournament.
That's weird. Why did the number of brackets keep going up and down? Because we've had it where it's been over 100 that they surveyed.
Well, some may not be updated, right?
So those are 89 updated brackets.
Correct.
Got you. Okay, that makes sense. That's actually useful.
It's important for certainly you to understand, right?
Well, we use Bracket Matrix even as far back as when I was beat writer. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It is a useful tool.
Yeah, very useful. You get, I think, a better feel when you're surveying everybody.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. You're not just using Palm or Lenardi, because, Lenardi specifically.
Yeah.
Not always right about where those teams are.
So right now, if you take the average of those 88 brackets, Memphis on average is a 10.5 seed, which comes out to an 11. It's the first 11. They are among the ranks of West Virginia, USC, Oklahoma State, Mississippi State, and Wisconsin. Remember, that's a play-in seed as well.
Mississippi State, which got a big win this weekend.
Yeah, got a huge win. Huge win. Much needed. Much needed at home. They would potentially be playing right now. If they're the first 11, they play the last six. Is that how that would work?
I suppose so.
Okay, so right now that would put them against Illinois as in the 6-11. Which feels like a bad matchup for Memphis off the rip. I don't know. I mean, it feels like that's not the team you'd want to see. Creighton, TCU, Northwestern, and Illinois are your six seeds. I can tell you who I prefer out of that bunch, and there's no doubt about it.
Illinois is good defensively.
It's TCU.
25th.
I want to see TCU in the first round, because we know what happens when Penny faces former players. He never loses.
It's been the case this year.
He never loses. Creighton, I would worry about. I could see Creighton running off on Memphis a little bit. They're good. They have the Kalkbrenner kid who would give the Memphis Bigs fits. And then, of course, Kaluma. Northwestern is like one of those teams that's better than the sum of its parts kind of thing. I think they have like one guard, Bowie maybe, but beyond that, they're just a good, solid team. Illinois is tough, and they're a Big Ten team. And Memphis, historically, against the Big Ten, has just not fared well in the NCAA tournament. So if I can avoid a Big Ten team, I think I'd like to do that. I don't know. It's interesting. Like, you definitely want to get to that 10 spot if you're Memphis. Because if you look at the 10-7 matchup, you've got Maryland, Michigan State, which is good but definitely exploitable, Texas A&M, who you beat, and Duke, which is not as good as Duke, teams have been historically. So you definitely, if you can help it, you want to get off. Because to me, all those six seeds are really good teams,
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't feel great about Memphis advancing against those four teams. I feel a lot like we know they've beaten Texas A&M. I've watched a lot of Michigan State. Like, they can dry up offensively. That's going to be a rock fight, but I like Memphis a little bit more. I don't know a lot about Maryland. And then Duke, again, I think, you know, they can be had this season. They've got they're really young, you know, so that would play to Memphis's favor because they are one of the most experienced and the oldest teams in the country. So that is where things stand today. Obviously, just getting in is the hope, you know, 10, 11, 9, whatever. And they're on track to do that.
I mean, it was always – you were supposed to get in with this team. It was always about
– Yes.
Trying to advance deeper this year.
Correct. And it's no secret. The higher your seed, or I guess lower your seed, the better chances you have of that happening. So if they can get to 10, that would be ideal. I think 10 over 9, right?
I mean, 10 is where Lenardi has him right now.
Yeah.
I know he hadn't done one in a couple of days.
He's a charlatan, right? I mean, that's what people sort of say about Lenardi.
I just think that's what they are. I know they could end up in a play-in. You know, there's plenty of scenarios where that happens, but I just feel like they've been better than that, especially here in sort of a taking care of business approach in a year where it's hard. It's been hard for most of college basketball to take care of business.
Mm-hmm.
That's might be their greatest strength. You've got, yes, Texas A&M, the Auburn wins, but it's that this team has not lost bad games. It doesn't have bad losses. Technically, Tulane's your worst, but again, that's a Tulane team that's vying for second place in the AAC.
Right.
So you add all that up with a 10-3 non-conference schedule, and listen, those committee members always say, hey, we value when you put together a tough non-conference schedule. Memphis had one of those. I just don't. A play-in? Maybe if you've lost to SMU and I think they're at least a 10 as opposed to you're trying to move up to
well,
a 10.
Yeah, and then you still have chances,
I think they're at least a 10 right now.
In the AAC tournament, you still have some chances.
Absolutely.
To pad your resume there as well.
Man, this team passes the eye test, dude. It's a tournament team.
It is.
Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams.
Absolutely right.
And the fact that now you're getting contributions pretty consistently from a third, fourth, sometimes a fifth guy.
No, it's true.
It's a tournament team.
That kind of struck me watching them yesterday.
This being in the AAC.
They're a good team.
Yeah, they are. And in a year where, again, you've seen it every single night, good teams losing to bad ones.
Yeah.
They don't have bad losses.
That's exactly right. It was funny yesterday. You could tell Landers was having, like, PTSD flashbacks to getting ripped by Lomax in practice because it happened, like,
twice in a row.
And it was like the same exact spot on the floor.
Well, it shows you how good a defender Lomax is, and especially if he knows your game. He did it. He shut up. He locked down Tyler in the second half of that first one after Tyler had gone off. Said, let me at him, basically. You got to give him credit. And then he knows Lander's game, having played with him. You know, takes those balls from him. As a defender, dude, he can contribute in a great way, a way that helps your team win.
Yeah, so right now, again, average of 10.5 feels like, you know, as long as they beat SMU, they'll probably move up to that 10 line. And then, you know, then you're talking about if you can move up to that 10 line, it's Maryland, Michigan State, A&M, Duke. Now, we have not talked about the possibility. Maybe, Jason, they're a 9 again. Could happen.
Like I said, I think they're at least a 10.
So
I think they can definitely work their way up.
If Memphis.
But I'd rather work my way up to 7, which I don't know you can get to. Then work our way up to 8-9. If that's the case, I'd rather be a 10. You know, you get my point? If I'm working up, the hope is I can get to a 7. And maybe that would require getting to the finals, win over Houston. I don't know if that's already out of the realm of possibility. I don't think it is. If you go win the conference tournament, right, why couldn't you be a 7 at that point? Say you've been swept by Houston the regular season, but you beat them in the conference tournament.
I think you would.
Is that not better than an 8-9? You've won the conference tournament, which you didn't do last year.
Because remember, because the AAC tournament falls so close to the Selection Sunday, they already have their minds made up. So it hasn't helped much in years past in terms of seeding.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you probably get locked into 8-9 as more likely a 9.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
If you're a 9, here's who you might play: Providence, Kentucky, Arkansas, Iowa. I think Memphis could beat Kentucky straight up. No questions asked about it. Arkansas is a tough matchup because they're really good at what you do. Providence has some shot makers, but I think Memphis could win that game. And then I know they could beat Iowa. I mean, Iowa's, you know, finesse all day. So, I mean, that you
shout out to Omar Sneed, too, was at the game, the M Club inductions.
Yeah, I ran into Will Fong after the game. He was honored as well. Mm-hmm. He was part of that M Club Hall of Fame. It was very cool to see those folks get honored down there. Great deal for sure. But yeah, they ended up as a 9. I like their chances to advance, given what I'm looking at right now.
Will Fong got the Billy J. Murphy Award.
Yeah, yes, that is what he got. Yep, which is like I think for.
It's a distinguished year presented to a former student athlete who excelled in his or her profession since leaving the U of M.
That's right, yeah. And contributions sort of post, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But yeah, it was a great atmosphere yesterday, and if Memphis can continue to win. Look, I don't know what the line's going to be on Sunday. I think Memphis will probably be favored, though. That's the way this stuff has gone. Like, the ranked team comes into the road team that's not ranked, and the unranked team is favored. That's the way it's gone in college basketball.
This is the number one ranked team.
It is. Memphis might be. I think Memphis will be a 1 point favorite, 1.5 point favorite. I really do.
No.
They
will not be favored in that game, John.
Well,
you should know better. You're Mr. Linesmith. You're here around here. You should know better.
Okay. All right. We'll call out. I'm gonna say I'm putting my.
Memphis is going to be favored against Houston the last game of the season.
I'll officially lock it in as a pick 'em. It'll be a pick 'em. Your line? What's KenPom got it at? Because that usually instructs a lot of it.
Yeah. I think that's why I think you're out of your gourd. I'll tell you. I got it. 76-69 Houston.
There is zero chance.
There's zero chance Memphis is going to be favored. I hear what you're saying, that zero chance is going to be a 7-point line. No, it's not. Zero chance Memphis is going to be favored.
If Memphis,
I said Memphis is going to be favored.
Getting 6.5, it's a HELOC bet. It's a HELOC bet.
Riley's
even with – no. That's bigger than tuition. It's a HELOC bet. Don't even care about the interest rates right now, bro. It's a HELOC bet. Memphis is not losing by 7 to Houston on Sunday. They're not. They're playing good basketball. Kendrick's going to play. They lost by 8 without him on the road. They are not losing by 7 with him at home. So it will not be.
That's fine, John. But what you initially said is we have to go back to. Like they're not going to be favored in that game. You're right. Okay, they won't lose by 7. Whatever. But Houston will be favored in this game.
I got to pick. That's what my line is. I got to pick them, and I would bet it. Probably at a pick 'em. If Memphis is getting points, I don't think they will be. But if they're getting points, I will certainly be betting Memphis. You have not given me a number though. You have not given me a
KenPom's got it at 7. You'll be lucky so if it's not 3, 3.5, somewhere in there.
So Jason Smith's sports book, which I'm about to put out of business, by the way, this bet.
Don't laugh at my sports book after you just considered Memphis being a favorite in this game.
Yeah.
Over the number one team in the country.
I'm going to
get up out of here.
You know how much money my sportsbook is going to make from all that Houston bet? From all those Houston bets. I'm going to make so much money.
You're going to be cash poor just like your owner.
No, bro. I am about to come up on these folks. So you got Memphis as +3.5 on Sunday?
Yeah.
I got Memphis as a pick 'em. That's what I got. And the beauty of it is that we won't know until Sunday morning. Like, so it's not going to be like, oh, you know, the lines don't get set like NFL games, like on Friday, you know, for whatever reason. In basketball, it has to be like the night before, day of. I got to pick them, though. We'll revisit this.
Dude, I don't know what kind of juice you're drinking this morning. A little Mad Dog 2020 in your coffee.
Who did Oklahoma State play on Saturday?
I'm stunned by you.
Well, because it's just, I know, it is the number one team. You're exactly right. It is the number one team, so it's a little different. So Oklahoma State
been
played.
Drinking that blue Kool-Aid.
So Oklahoma State, who did they play?
You went to the game, and you got all the feels again.
Kansas State. They were hosting a top 10 team in Kansas State. Oklahoma State was favored by 3.5 at tip, right? And Oklahoma State stinks. They're bad. But here's the thing. It's a revenge game for Memphis. They're unranked. And they're playing for seeding, man.
Yeah, I have people telling me you're smoking that stuff. So now
let them.
It's confirmed.
Let people say what they say.
Maybe they saw you or something.
Let people say what they say, my guy. I know what this is about to be. It's going to be if it's Memphis +1, that's still a pick 'em.
Oh, I know. You'll take any license you can to say you were right about something.
That's how I truly feel this. I truly feel this. It's the same to me.
Well, I think you started out with Memphis going to be a 3-4 point favorite, right?
I got it out of the pickle. Here's the thing. Like, let's just take a historical comparison. Kansas State was number 14 on January 10th. Oklahoma State came in. Oklahoma State lost by 8 to Kansas State at their place. Oklahoma State, a month and a half later, on Saturday, hosting top 15 ranked Kansas State, despite having lost by 8 at their place, was laying 3. It's the same exact dynamic with Memphis. Now, it is Houston who's number one, so perhaps we'll pay number one rank tax.
And we've never had number one in here, I think, according to Matt Dillon.
I heard
that through Jeff Calkins from Matt Dillon, I believe, Tigers historian. Never had number one in here. Woo-hoo!
It's gonna be a lit environment.
Will it be any less lit if you lose to SMU?
Oh,
it will.
Oh, yeah. Right. That'll deflate the whole thing.
Just making sure.
And look, that one's tricky because it is the game before Houston, right?
Well, you know, it's the classic. You're looking past them.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Kendrick been down there before. Everybody comfortable.
Very emotional.
Yeah.
Tips of 10, potentially, right?
But they are not good.
They're bad.
And it would be by far the worst loss on your resume
if you
dropped this game. By far.
You have to explain to Penny, or Penny has to explain to the team,
which is what he's been doing.
You cannot lose this game, guys. They're 10-18. I do wonder what the number's going to be there. That might be a bet, SMU plus. Yeah, don't think Memphis is going to lose, but I could see them kind of dilly-dallying if it's like a plus 12 or plus 13 or something like that. I think that's what it was in Memphis. So it probably won't be that. It probably is not going to be that down there. It'll probably be closer to like 9.5, 10, something like that. But it's just something. It's just a spot to consider. Looking forward to Memphis being a favorite on Sunday. That'll be a good one. That'll be a good. That'll be a good show of the times.
Favorite against number one team in the country.
Against the number one team in the country. It is kind of crazy we have not had.
Could be looking at a 4-5 seed.
There's a number two that came in. Tennessee was number two. But I can't even think of any other, top. I mean, I don't even think there's been another number two that's come in here. So it's history, and it's the last game. It's the last game you're going to play, Houston, as conference mates. So
until the conference final, you're going to see.
Right, that's true.
But you're right for
regular season. Yeah. Anyway,
it's going to be sad.
Memphis currently on track to make the tournament. Got to maintain it with a win over SMU on Thursday.
Next story.
All right, Quinn Snyder is the new Atlanta Hawks basketball coach. You know, they got rid of Nate McMillan, went out and got Quinn Snyder. But that's not the Atlanta Hawks news that I want to discuss. This is the news I want to discuss. After hitting a game-winning buzzer beater against the Nets yesterday, Trae Young tweeted an upbeat message about the win. And Mike Bell of 92.9 FM in Atlanta quote tweeted the post and said, "Okay, just more like the last two." Young replied, "Shut up, ho. I don't play for you." To which Bell came back and said, "Ha, well, I do pay for 10 season tickets, so technically you do." To which Trae Young responded, "You pay in caps to watch me. There's a difference in an owner." Hashtag levels.
Wow.
Laughing and waving emoji.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I went and checked out our man Bell, Mike Bell of 92.9 FM in Atlanta's Twitter page, and he was saying he'd never been called a gardening tool, which is a clever little joke.
Oh, yeah, it's so clever.
That's a really little clever joke there.
Good one, Mike.
Never been called a gardening tool, but he also said, can't wait to have you guys listen in today. And I imagine when you got a back and forth like this, because this would be like Ja going at it with John. Kind of would be. Right? Or with me or with anybody else.
Yeah.
And so can you imagine the people that are going to tune in for this? Now, last I checked, Trey still had it up. I don't see anybody telling him he's got to go out and apologize. And I don't know. You tell me, John, was he wrong in jumping on the 92.9 host in this host in this case, who's kind of apparently 92.9 been very down on Trey. I think that might be why you got a little bit of clack back there on what was otherwise a – some might read into it. Okay, do what you did in the last two. Get a couple of more. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know the history there and a little bit of context, you might not, understand maybe why Trey clapped back the way he did. But apparently they're all down on him. And maybe this was his way of saying, listen, I'm tired of it.
Yeah. Trey was wrong to call him out of his name, to call him a hoe.
That's why I think he's clearly been bothered by whatever the talk has been around him there at that
station. It's funny. I think it is funny. With that said, I think Mike Bell's response is piss too. Right?
Oh, it's awful.
Like, that's, I'm getting real vibes there. And also, it's not even true because the NBA is a revenue-sharing league. So it's not like your season ticket money is going directly to the Atlanta. I mean, it's being shared, right, and vice versa around the league. So it's not even like a direct thing. So it's not even technically true. I mean, we play semantics, but semantics say it's not true. I thought Trey was out of line for calling him a hoe, but I thought, you know, the whole line about, you know, I paid for season tickets, so you do play for me. That energy's real. Be careful, bro. You are a white man talking about a black athlete, you know, so I think you have to be aware of how that comes off. You know, you play for me. Yeah, I hate that. I hate that.
Yep.
So I think everybody – look, I think – again, I don't know what was being said about Trae Young in Atlanta. I don't live there, and I don't listen to Atlanta radio. But Trae Young is a loser. I mean, I don't think he is a guy who, if he's your best player, you're winning championships. Like, they had that one run – in 2021, when it was sort of the half COVID year, when they beat Philly and got to the they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So beyond that, I don't really think he's a guy you can win a championship with. But I don't think he should be calling anybody a hoe. That's kind of where I'm at. And then I think the response from Mike was bad.
I think poorly handled by Trey, who clearly is bothered by what they've been saying about him at 92.9. Apparently, it's not just Bill. You know, they've been critical of his leadership play style, much in the way probably as you just were in terms of what Trae Young is, everything else. But that's to your point. Does that allow you, does that give you reason, license, whatever else, to go out and call him out of his name? It just shows, too, that you're too bothered by what's going on social media, what they're saying about you.
Mm-hmm.
So we've said the same thing about guys we've had here in this town. And so from that standpoint, to think he went about it the wrong way, clearly, Trey, and then I think classically, yes, Mike Bell, in terms of responding like that, that's the old classic. I pay for it, so absolutely I can do whatever I want to do or say whatever I want to say about you. It's just not the right way to handle it. So it's an unfortunate on both sides, again, in terms of going out, man, and showing you know what on Twitter. What do they say? What does old Herm say, man? Think before you send.
Yeah.
Before you push it. Something along those lines.
Yeah, something
man.
Along those lines.
Doesn't do nothing but get you in trouble in the end.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think he should be forced to take it down or anything. I mean, I think it's unprofessional. That's about the extent of it.
Bro, you are never going to make all these fools happy.
That's right.
There will always be somebody out there critical of you. So if you feel the need to go out and answer to them 100%. Or to curse them any amount that don't like you, I mean, you're going to drive yourself crazy, John. You're never going to be happy.
Never going to be happy. Nope. What will make you happy is if you win, you know, which is irrespective of, you know, your little spat with Mike Bell. It reminded me of
last time you called a dude a hoe.
Oh, I don't think I've called a guy a hoe, like, seriously.
Like, it's pretty disrespectful, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, Malcolm Dandridge called me Little John.
Well, look, I mean,
so
to him, you are little.
Well, that's true. That's fair.
A tiny man.
That's fair. But, you know, was that professional? I mean.
But I think just as bad as telling, like, yeah, you do play for me. Because I got 10 season tickets.
Yeah, that'd be like me saying,
that's that plantation.
You play for
talk.
Me, Malcolm. That's my alma mater. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, no, bro. You play for, you know, Penny Hardaway. You play for the Tigers.
But you didn't get into a back and forth with Malcolm.
I didn't
call you Little
respond.
John.
I didn't respond because, like, I get it. It's all good. I'm not interested in, like, doing a back and forth with, like, a Tiger, bro. Like, if we need to, we can settle that privately. Like, it's not something I'm interested in. Mike Bell likes it. He's like, oh, this is going to get people to my show. I'm like, come on, bro. Like, that's because I could have gone back with Malcolm if I cared to do that, you know. Man called me Little John. Like, I could have said some stuff. But I just like, for what? What's the value in that? You know, it's ugly. It's not.
Well, isn't Little John a character in Robin Hood, Friar Tuck? And
I think so.
Okay. Well, I mean.
Well, I thought it was funny.
Just,
Yeah. I thought it was funny. Like, the only thing that I recall that was a little weird about it was, like, he kind of was like, he said something like, be careful or something. Like, he told me to be careful, you know, which I was like, be careful what? Like, be careful what? What, you know what I'm saying?
F around and find
right,
out.
Right. That's clearly, you know, that's the only thing.
So you didn't get to Mark Adams, DeAndre Williams level either.
What you
Did
mean?
You see they talked?
Yeah, I saw they talked.
Now, tell me this. Because on the post, everybody, it's a picture of Mark Adams with DeAndre Williams. And everybody, I think it's in the Memphis Tigers Facebook thing or something.
Yeah.
So I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, okay, he sat down with DeAndre, who obviously he said, talked about DeAndre's age. Previously, Penny's come out and talked about it. They would, hey, man, we shouldn't be talking about DeAndre's age. We didn't do that with Setson Bennett. You know, why are you doing this? Mark Adams had been guilty of that, I think, saying he's only a few years from Medicare or some little half-la, ha-ha. I'm assuming he's sitting down with DeAndre before the game to talk about that, maybe apologize for it, since there were headlines about Penny not necessarily liking it. But Jeff said this morning that he asked him. He said, what's that? Well, I wouldn't apologize to him at all. I was talking to the guy. I like him. Do you know one way or the other which one it was?
I don't.
Jeff said he talked to him, and Mark was told him it wasn't an apology.
Well, yeah.
But everybody in the Facebook post was saying, stand up, dude, because we all assumed.
What, he didn't have anything to apologize for saying that he was older? Is that an insult?
You saw afterwards, Penny has come out and said, I guess, well, you haven't. You've seen the headline.
I've seen it.
That
people
shouldn't be talking about DeAndre's age. It's not just him. It's people around the program, everything else. Something you bring up, we all joke about, whatever else.
I mean,
Mark Adams probably brought it to a head. And that's the point, is that it looked like, and everybody was saying, all the Tigers fans were saying, stand up dude, Mark Adams, just to be by DeAndre and say something to him. But apparently, it was just talking. It wasn't anything about what he had said or anything else.
Yeah, I genuinely think they were just talking. I mean, DeAndre Williams is 26. This is not an opinion. This is a fact.
Yeah, but saying he's a few years from Medicare, and
we
constantly doing it.
Well, he said he was 39. He used the exact right term.
Okay, but constantly doing it year after year, or is it overkill? Have we reached a point now where it's a joke? And it's overkill.
Is it hurtful? Is it hurtful? I mean, that he's, you know, I bet he made it sound like it was, but he is.
So you can't see a difference between the joke it is that DeAndre Williams is 26, or some people laughing or giggling. We've laughed about it.
Yeah.
And that the fact that we didn't do that at all with Setson Bennett, who's 25, like, we don't talk about his age at all. It's no joke there. Like, you don't see a little bit of a difference. And, hey, I've made my DeAndre Williams jokes too.
Yeah.
But we've done it over and over and over again. I mean, so at some point, why is DeAndre the one that gets the dunce cap and the one that we talk about I thought it was a fair comparison for Penny to make. Now, I'm with you. If we're going to be like this, oh, man, are we just all soft as a society? Sure, we can have that conversation.
Right.
But there's clearly a difference in the joke that it is for DeAndre, in that it's not one at all for Setson Bennett, who's 25 years old, and just to see the point.
Yeah, no, I think there was some jokes that were made about Setson Bennett, after the championship.
But once Penny comes out and rightly or wrongly says it's he doesn't like it or it's not right.
Yeah,
that's why I thought Mark Adams, who's got to work with Penny and cover games, that was something he would go and address.
Well, I think
why I was surprised to hear from Jeff Mark say no, much like you, not at all. I didn't know. What did I have to apologize for?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like Mark Adams said, like, here's where I think you could draw a line, right? If he said something along the lines of he shouldn't still be playing, like, he should be married with kids and he should be in the workforce or things like that, like, I think that's where I would have a problem with it. But if you just sort of point out the guy's playing college basketball at 26 years old, it's not really offensive. It's just the truth. I guess maybe there was an off-color comment about Medicaid or whatever it was, but, you know, I think he actually used the accurate number, that he was 39 years away from it, which doesn't really illustrate the point well to me, because 39 years is a long time, but...
Again, you're making a joke about his age. Like, I get that it's factual, but you can see where that could also be considered pile-on as well.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this as a person who's been guilty.
I'm not
trying to talk out of both sides of my neck here.
A person who's been guilty
of making the jokes. But I think once Penny says it, that it's bothersome, which he did last week, it's interesting to see that Mark and others felt there's no need to apologize. Because I guarantee you there's going to be less of it on ESPN once Penny has said that.
Look, yeah. I mean, I think that if it's clearly something that that, you know, hey, this hurts his feelings.
I'm just saying, you're talking about what you got to be careful on. We need to look at ourselves. Why is it he's 26 years old, oldest guy in college basketball with DeAndre Williams, but with Stetson, we don't even address it. Well, like, it's like, yeah, he's one of the oldest dudes in college, but you don't even hear it. He's just a champion leading them to back-to-backs. Mm-hmm. Like, it is. So you have to ask yourself, okay, why do we do that as a society?
I guess
and then you could get into some serious issues there if you dove into that.
Yeah. Why is it a bad thing that DeAndre Williams is still playing college basketball? Like, what is the connotation that he doesn't have, a chance to play professionally? Well, that's not true. I mean, somebody would definitely pay him to play in their country, in their league. So I guess my fundamental question is, why is it sort of perceived as a bad thing that he's still in college?
Why is it perceived as a bad thing? We are joking about it. We joke about it and get laughs off it. So you ask yourself, well, why is it funny?
Well, why is it funny?
Which is what I'm asking you. Why is it funny for DeAndre? We've both been guilty,
but we haven't said
it all with Stetson. Right, because this is going to be a constant for you looking at it as, oh, I'm outside of this. This isn't a problem at all. Whereas for me, I say, actually, I've been guilty of this too. Why do we do this? So we're looking at it from two different approaches there. You're looking at it as, here's John getting attacked because I've made jokes. I'm looking at it as, why do we look at the two separately? Actually, and when the coach says, guys, this has actually gone a little bit overboard, you would think, okay, maybe we have. And for me, I'm saying, yeah, I probably have. But
I guess it's not for me to say.
It's not, because it's not how it should how it makes you feel or anything else. It's DeAndre.
I don't personally think that we have gone overboard, but that's me, you know?
Sure.
Like, that's how...
I didn't say in anywhere of this that we'd gone overboard. Yeah. I said I've been guilty of it. The coach has come out and pointed out the double standard there.
Yeah.
And I think once he puts that in your face, we have to all say, well, damn, maybe we have gone too far on that. You ask yourself that honestly. Some will feel clearly. Some will feel like, you know what? Yeah, maybe it has been a little bit disrespectful. It is weird how in this other case we didn't discuss it at all.
I think it's fair if it hurts the kid to stop. However, I will say, if you Google Stetson Bennett age, you'll get a meme factory.
Yeah, I guess what I would...
I'm sure, but to that point, how much did you hear it during the college football playoff?
From
quite
media.
A bit. There's a USA Today columnist that had a 96-year-old joke.
From the announcers.
Yes, that's what you're saying.
Oh, from like the on-air staff?
Which is why we're talking about Mark Adams.
Yeah.
No, they're probably...
I didn't watch every Georgia game,
I don't know if it was
Mark probably should not do that if it hurts the kid.
It's
a good point.
It gets back.
It's
to
not
like,
my point. It's Penny's point. Yeah. I'm just discussing.
Well, I guess I don't have a point necessarily. I have a
question about why we do it in one case, but not necessarily as much in another.
What makes? And I'm just asking this question. What makes Penny's feelings about it more important than, say, our feelings about it?
I just think once you've because we're not. I know they get NIL, but we're not talking about professional athletes here.
Fair.
And so, and that had always been, I guess, up until NIL, we may want to make a switch and they're getting paid, so I can talk about them. But for you and me both, there was a line when we're talking about college athletes, and especially when you're getting into areas that may be personal for them, that we felt like is not necessarily there for professional athletes that are getting paid and maybe should be able to deal with a little bit of criticism a little bit better, whatever they perceive as criticism. That was the case. And you've had a college basketball coach now come out and tell his community that, hey, this is bothersome when ESPN is constantly weighing in on this. Once he's done that, you figure, okay, well, maybe there's a little bit of a time for a let up. I'm not arguing here that, listen, DeAndre Williams should be offended by this or that it's some comment that was meant to hurt. I'm not. But I'm pointing out that Penny's addressed it, and it was odd to me to see, again, Mark Adams, seeing the headlines that it's kind of created, tell Jeff and others that, you know what, yeah, I didn't feel like I had anything to apologize for. You know, especially as close as he likes to claim that he is to Penny, how much he admires Penny and everything else. But back to your point, maybe Mark Adams just sees it as, man, I made a Medicare joke about a dude that's playing college basketball, and that's open game for anybody.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Fair game.
It gets back to our conversation, honestly, about comedy in 2023. You know, we talked about this when Chappelle and Chris Rock came in, how it feels like as a genre – and as an art, comedy has really suffered because people decide that they are insulted or offended or hurt or whatever, what have you, you know, And I'm not saying that there aren't, like, valid reasons. Like, you probably just hate hearing and being reminded that you're the oldest player in college basketball. I respect that, mm-hmm. you know. You know, and so, you know, I guess I don't really know what I'm supposed to say, you know?
Nothing.
I mean, we heard you. I respect it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I respect that that is how Penny feels, you know?
I'm an empath. I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Right. My guess is Penny's not coming out and saying that right. unless he's had a conversation with DeAndre.
Sure.
And he feels like it bothers him.
Yeah. So
now, whether y'all are concerned about DeAndre, that's you, and you're free to do whatever you want to.
Yeah.
But in that instance, I was surprised after Penny's made it public
yeah.
that Mark Adams, who claims loves Penny, felt like still, hey, you know what, no.
Yeah.
No, I can say pretty much, no, that wasn't off limits there, and yeah. I don't feel like I owe DeAndre anything. That's the point I'm bringing up.
Yeah, well,
how you feel about it. I'm not trying to make you feel one way or the other.
Like, I think,
but I'm asking us all to examine ourselves.
Oh, for sure.
In this instance.
And I like to believe that I feel like I am a pretty empathetic person. So if I know that something bothers somebody, you know, I am not going to keep saying it. I'm not going to keep doing that to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think we all sort of have our own things that we are sensitive about and that we don't like to talk about and that we don't want to, you know.
Well, I think Penny's point is there's been circumstances for DeAndre to be as old as he is.
Sure, sure.
You know, with the prep school stuff yep. and yep. wasn't eligible at first and all that. That's yep. that's his whole point, that we're not talking about some dumb here.
Absolutely.
You know, that's been stuck and can't get out and has nowhere else
to go.
Well, he's
got his degree, right?
That was the point.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And maybe that's why there's a connotation
yeah. of that.
Which I don't share, but I could see where the general public.
And when it yeah. goes out on ESPN, that people like Penny
and maybe even
DeAndre can say, you know, there are right. negative connotations when you continue
sure.
to,
sure.
you know, weigh in on the fact that the kid's 26 years old. Whatever. DeAndre, I'm sure, got thick skin. He's going to hear worse from Mark Adams and from others.
Right.
But all I'm saying is it is kind of interesting when you compare the two.
Yeah.
And at this point, you know, I would expect it to – you going to come back for another year?
Exactly. So, I mean, that's when I think –
So it's going to – this is probably the end of it because this is DeAndre's last ride.
Is it fair to let the jokes fly if he comes back next season at 27?
Man, you're going to have plenty of them. So whether it's fair or not, we're going to hear them. It is.
Hey, man, I appreciate what you did today, man.
I didn't do anything but put a mirror up in front of you.
Justice
and
was served today.
And point out that I was a little bit shocked by, you'd think just Mark Adams say, hey, man, didn't mean to say anything that would
be so indignant,
because that's
right?
so easy.
Don't
that's
be so indignant.
That's so easy to do.
Because if you... I always try to do this in my life. If I know I said something that hurt your feelings as a human, right, I am sorry, and I will do my best moving forward to make sure. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I mean, I'll make a joke, you know what I'm saying? But if you tell me, hey, man, like that makes me feel a certain type. That makes me feel bad. That makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah, that one's a little close to the quick.
My bad. I won't say that again. You know, even if I think it's silly that you're offended by it, I'm going to respect your boundaries.
Well, I think for Mark Adams, too, and for us, there's a way to say DeAndre right. Williams is the oldest player in college yeah. basketball without trying to get a laugh right. out of it, you know what I'm saying, to make
yes.
us look
mm-hmm.
better.
Like, I make jokes, for example, about Jeff's age all the time. Like, every time I come on, you just never know if it's going to be the last time.
I'm the example of this as when I tweeted that, when Jaren Johnson was playing Marshall, there's one of his former smoking buddies. Now, Jaren That's had right. gone out of his way to get off the weed,
That's right.
clean up his life, and there was me on Twitter trying to get a laugh out of telling you, well, he'd been in trouble with this previous Marshall guy for yeah. smoking at their old college. But there's me doing it in a way where I'm trying to get a laugh out of it as opposed to just telling you in a factual way, or, because it had already been addressed, not doing it at all. But I'm trying to get a laugh of it out of it just like Mark Adams was. And so for me, it was important
That's right.
that next day that to good. Tell Jaren, you know what? That's all me, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to be trying to get a laugh out of that just for Twitter's sake or whatever else.
Amplifying your worst moment.
And it's the right. same thing to me. And it was important for me, at least as a person, to go to that dude,
right.
especially knowing that guy had put effort into changing
right.
and saying, you know what? That was a miss by me, man. I owe it to you to tell you. And like Jaren said, man, Jaren turned around and didn't say nothing. He didn't give a hot damn that I apologized. But for me, it right. was necessary
yeah.
to tell him that.
Yeah. Like when,
because it's the exact same thing.
Yeah,
trying to get a joke off while I'm getting the, you know, getting the facts out there as the quote unquote beat writer.
When I
it's unnecessary.
When I jokingly said that people should head to Dave Yeager's house with torches because of that quote stanky ass lineup end quote that he rolled out there against the Trailblazers in that playoff series, you know, I apologized.
Well, you had to. They made you do that.
Yeah, no, it was either you apologize or you lose
your fired
job. So I did apologize.
Yeah.
But I apologize that, like, it got interpreted the way it did. Like, that was really stupid on y'all's part. I ain't gonna lie to you that you actually took that as a, like, I didn't put the, I don't know where Dave Yeager lives. I didn't, you know, it was ridiculous.
It's still not your fault.
It was not really my fault.
All these years later.
It was really not. Like, I didn't say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to mobilize, and we're going to go to Dave Yeager's house, and here's the address. You know,
it is an interesting topic as somebody who's been on this station for a long time, especially with talk radio, because we're talking about a lot of subjects, and we do have a good relationship with each other that gets between lines of fun and where's the line. And so with so much sample out there,
yep.
There are times watching these shows where it's interesting what the trigger will be. We all have them, too.
Oh, for sure. Mine are written down on that board.
There's a thing, and you've pointed out, they are sensitive. And it's sometimes hard to find out what that is. In this case, we know what it is.
Yeah, for Jason, it's DeAndre Williams' age. You know, no more. We cannot joke about that on this show anymore. And I for one, detest and denounce anybody that's going to do that.
The interesting thing on the call was a couple of times after I saw the apology tweet, he said things like veteran play.
He changed it.
Like he was adjusting.
Elder statesman.
Did you notice that?
I was listening to him call the game.
I'm just so proud of DeAndre that he didn't say shut up, Hope.
That's right.
Well,
like Trey.
Well, do you think? No. Do you think?
Because that's a man who can handle it.
I mean, Mike Bell does not want to be called a hoe. He doesn't want to be called a gardening tool or a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So should Trey Young apologize?
Should he apologize?
Yeah. I mean,
you and I both said it was out of character. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't be affected by it.
I don't know. It may be
Trey Young's character. Maybe it is.
I feel like you shouldn't be out here calling people hoes.
I mean, is this the first time Trey's gone on Twitter and cursed somebody out? I think it probably is.
Well, who knows?
So that's why I said out of character. It's just unprofessional. You don't need to respond in that way to a radio guy that's a talking head. Probably trying to get a rise out of you anyway.
This is
what he wants, so you're playing into his hands. That's why I say out of character, because you got to be a professional. We haven't seen the stories about Trey being thin-skinned because of everything that's said about him on Twitter.
Yeah.
So should he apologize? I guess.
This was an important segment. This was an important segment, you know.
Just let up on DeAndre.
I don't pile on.
That's in your home and on the radio.
My home is fine. My home is a DeAndre Williams fan club home. Love him. That dude plays hard. That dude is...
Because whether you want to face... He is the face.
He is the face, and he is the heart.
Kendrick's the leader.
Yeah.
DeAndre, the face, though.
But
he's the one taking all those pictures with all them babies. They all love him. He is Tiger through and through.
And he's going to have four fouls, no matter what. You know?
See, you didn't need to go there.
Yeah. But he's going to pick up four fouls. That first foul he picked up in that first half, I couldn't believe how stupid it was. Like, it was so bad. So I think I got to look at it like that. Like, he may be a fifth-year senior, but he still makes mistakes like that of an underclassman. So, you know, it's not all 26-year-old, you know. So he's holding on to that youth, the fountain of youth.
Can't even get out of this segment with an ending, a positive ending for DeAndre.
I just don't think it's that. I don't feel like
can't imagine that you wouldn't
cross the line.
It's that big a deal.
I don't
can't imagine that at all.
Well, if I make a joke about you being 46, is that going to hurt your feelings?
That is not the comment. Again, you use extremes. You're talking about what, one time? We're talking about ESPN constantly piling on. We're talking about college athletes, how media talks about the players they cover, John.
Well,
you're talking about me in a personal relationship with me and you've been working forever. Why would you even start with that approach if you wanted to dive into this more? Mm. It's not even remotely close to the same thing.
We have no relationship.
We're talking about how the media talks about the players it covers.
Well, yeah.
And how there used to be a little bit of a line with college athletics where you give them a little bit of a pass because they weren't being paid.
I do think that is the fair point, right? Like, more so than you and me, you know, because you kind of mentioned that, like, you said you feel like you were examining yourself. We're not calling these games to a national audience, right? Like, I think our responsibility here is different than that of Mark Adams.
I think it's okay for us to, like, you know, make some lighthearted jokes, like things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're broadcasting to a Memphis audience that knows the story, that is familiar with DeAndre and knows everything about him, you know.
Sure.
Whereas you're shaping opinion nationally. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I do think the obligation is a little heavier there. That's where I will come, right? Your obligation to a national audience is to, I think, be fair and to be respectful. You know, like, I would not say the same things that I'm saying right now if I was broadcasting a Memphis game. You know, I'd be buttoned up. Like, I'd have some fun, but I would not say, oh, this kid, he's been in college for 12 years.
But now you seem like you're drawing a line. You said if you're calling the game, basically you're not saying what Mark Adams did when earlier you just asked me, what's the problem with this?
Well, I mean, I'm
like, because what you just did was give yourself a pass on the show. If it's okay for us, but for Mark Adams, it shouldn't be. Like, you just changed it right there, bro.
Obligation is
because earlier you're saying, what's the problem with this? Well, now you're saying you wouldn't have said it if you were that guy.
Well, I'm trying to see it. You know, I'm trying to see it. I'm trying to come that way is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, I, you know, again, I don't feel like anything has been said out of bounds here. I feel like I have a pretty good gauge of when something is out of bounds and when it's not.
Right.
You know, but I think, again, our audience, our mission is very different.
Mm-hmm.
The audience we serve is very different. I mean, I could be wrong. I could be a bad person. I don't know.
No, nobody's calling you that, John. It's not an attack on you. Never is.
Yeah.
This was not.
Yeah.
And remains not.
Yeah. But I, you know, look, it's a discussion. And I'll be, you know, aware of making
it's,
those.
It's more Mark Adams feeling after Penny says something.
Yeah.
He's still good, which is odd considering how tight he claims
well,
to be.
Well, if you want, we can have Mark Adams on and we won't let him off until we will force him to apologize.
No, I was shocked when Jeff said he told him he got nothing to apologize for.
Yeah.
Huh? But then you change your approach.
No, indignance really is. It's the most unbecoming quality a person can have, in my opinion. You know? Like, the insistence that I was not wrong, even though I feel like I wasn't, you know?
It'll get you fired, too.
You're telling me...
We've seen it get you fired. It won't get Mark Adams. This isn't a case like that, but we've seen that in folks being indignant and getting them fired.
Yeah, like, I think that is really the worst thing a person could have.
Capable of saying, hey, I made a mistake
here. I mean, I think that is the bigger thing, right? Like, Let's be willing to listen if you know, we had a misstep. Even if we don't feel like we did, you know, what someone else, within reason, because I do think, like, there are times in our society where it's like, come on, bro. Like, and I'm not saying this is one, but, and I don't have an example off the top of my head, but you know you've seen stories where it's like, really? Like, that person got fired for this or you know, what have you, you know? So... You know, honestly, it's like 15-year-old tweets, you know, when somebody was a 13-year-old, you know, like, should they be fired for that? Should they, you know, can there be another recourse? You know, we may differ on that. But, yeah, it's an interesting time.
I think some of it, too, just a little bit to put a bow on it. I think some of it, too, it's okay when it's our guy. It's okay if in-house we're talking about our own guy. But we as Memphians, too, if it's somebody else saying the same thing, but from outside, we tend to run to say, uh-uh. But
yes.
No, you can't say that. We can
do it
with our own.
That's right.
But you can't poke at us the same fun from outside. That's kind of how we are as Memphians.
It matters who it's coming from, you know. Mark Adams getting a respect burger when we come back. We'll talk about that. And then Jason Fitz is going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.